What a privilege to gather on this special occasion and be refreshed in our minds of God's call on our lives, on your life, my life. I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I think some of the brothers here have been involved in doing some work in Timothy and Titus. So the first 14 verses, reading from the NASB. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ. To Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remembered you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears so that I may be filled with joy. For I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure it is in you as well. But for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffered these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Encouragement to faithfulness. As Christians, there is a call to being faith, being men and women of faith, boys and girls of faith, and faithfulness. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, we see the Apostle Paul as a veteran, declaring to Timothy his words of encouragement to be faithful. We do recall in this setting, Nero, he's a good administrator, or else he wouldn't be Nero or Roman leader. Rome had a fire, so there was things going on. Nero, as we know, persecuted Christians. Story goes that he actually committed suicide in AD 68. He had his mother murdered had killed his wife and married another. So that's the setting. Paul's writing to Timothy and is writing to us today to faithfulness in the middle of world chaos. Maybe we're not quite where Rome was at that time, but we are at a time when we're called to be faithful. Seven areas I'd like us to look at. Are we having trouble with getting this up here, I guess? Verses 1 and 2. We can be faithful because of three things: grace, mercy, and peace. So what an opportunity to be men and women that experience God's grace, his mercy, and his peace. So we can be faithful people, faithful in service, faithful in whatever opportunity we have. Obviously today it's a bit of a different setting. But faithfulness because of grace, mercy, and peace. Christianity is not shallow optimism. It's a mighty hope based on a revelation of truth which God has made in Christ. It's a promise of a new life for every person who opens their lives to it until he comes. Christ is the promise of eternal life. And we become men and women, boys and girls of gratitude for that. Christ is an adequate object of our faith. Grace, mercy, and peace is something we can experience and need during these days. During the time when we have opportunity to be brothers and sisters in the church, and we've seen God at work. The reconciliation in Christ, we are new creatures. So we are invited to step up to be people of faith. In verse 3, where we can be faithful in service because of the opportunity to pray. And I think we've all been encouraged at the challenge of prayer before this event, last Sunday and this Sunday. Constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. Don't leave your prayers behind for these two couples as they embark on a new avenue of service. And verses 4 and 5, we have opportunity to be faithful because of the foundation of faithfulness of those gone before us. And as I mentioned last Sunday, amazing. 30 years and God has been faithful. One thing that touched me last Sunday afternoon as we finished one of the interviews, Steve had a grandpa who in 25 years ago when I was here, I was on the leadership team. And, you know, some of these elders, some of these people die and their works do follow them. Scripture refers to that. And possibly even their prayers get answered while they're in the grave. But I could imagine, we can only imagine. We sing the song. I can imagine Clarence Lease, being quite thrilled today to see this service because of the foundational faithfulness of those gone before us. Longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, for I am mindful of the sincere faith that dwelt in these parents and the mother and grandmother of Timothy. And I'm sure for Gary and Laura Lynn, you could probably point to parents, grandparents, relatives, extended relatives. You know, as I stand here, I think of my grandpa, who was not a preacher, but he was an influencer. And he influenced us grandchildren in mighty ways. The Brook revivals that came to our region back when I was 4, 5, 6 years old. And I stand here today because of parents and grandparents who made professions of faith that I wish I had half of the insight of what all stirred them. And mother's prayers and grandmother's prayers. So today we stand on the veranda looking at those who've gone before us. You know, there's a story that the little guy who was watching a parade through a knothole, you know, these big board fences in his front lawn. And, you know, sometimes we're like that. We're watching the world through knotholes. And it's pretty easy today to think only of ourselves. What's all this about? One of his siblings was up on the veranda on the balcony of the second floor, yelled at his brother and said, "Come on up here." And of course he could see the parade coming, he could see the parade going, he could see right there. So take some time to reflect on the faithfulness of those who've gone before us and stand on the veranda of the past, the current, and possibilities of the future. The next one verse 6. You may be here saying, "I took personal encouragement from this verse. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands." This afternoon, there will be some laying on of hands and some charge and some prayers. Brothers, fan the flame. Fan the flame. Do it with a great deal of humility and brokenness, but fan it. Let your gift shine. Even after a call or an ordination, a charge, you're responsible to keep the flame burning. There will be temptations to lethargy and possible burnout, where some of us in leadership have gotten very close to or even have been there. But fan the flame. Find a place to retreat to where you can fan the flame, where you don't burn out. Find a way to do it for God and His glory and the sake of the congregation. You know, a question comes up, well, how do I refresh myself? And some of us, we feel very selfish or almost like I'm not worthy of this, so how can I do this? How can I refresh myself? One thing in the 50 plus years in ministry in Northwestern Ontario is take taken every 7 years a sabbatical. Can be 6 months to a year. At one point, I took a sabbatical that lasted a year and 9 months. That's when we were living in this area. But find a way to refresh yourself. Fan the flame. Don't let it burn out. Rekindle through prayer and corporate and private worship. Corporate worship, private worship. Find friends. Jesus had the 12, but he also had three that were kind of his inner circle. And out of those three, he probably had one that some of us would kind of shy away from. His name was Peter. He always spoke the top of his head or whatever he thought. That's what came out of his mouth. But you need those kind of friends. Whatever they think, whatever they feel, whatever they sense, they put into words and tell you. Now we know Peter got himself into trouble, especially before true conversion, we might call it. But who penned 1 Peter chapter 5? Who penned it? Peter did. After the Holy Spirit had sharpened him, pruned him, tested him, learn how to wait on the Lord. You know, the Christian cause of every generation is crippled and handicapped by the dormant gifts of its adherence. So please, folks, please, Larry, please, Steve, don't sit on your gifts. Fan them into flame. Let me repeat. The Christian cause in every generation is crippled and handicapped by the dormant gifts of its adherence. Latent gifts, only partially aware of them. We need new purposes. We need new enthusiasm. We need a sense of responsibility, for sure. But we also need to learn how to lean on the Lord. Fan it into flame. Don't let it die. Verse 7, not giving us a spirit of timidity or a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind, sound discipline. The power of love and discipline, my translation says. Sound mind. Someone has said, and some of you that live with the digital generation won't understand this, but how did you develop pictures before the digital camera? How did you develop the picture? Well, you went into the dark room and you developed your negatives. That's the definition of fear. Walking into the dark room and developing your negatives. Did you hear me? Fear, the definition of fear is walking into the dark room and developing your negatives. So there's lots of opportunity to do that. There's lots of darkness around. There's darkness in the church, and we like to light it up. But faithful over fear. Fear for many people is one of the central problems of life. They feel inadequate. They feel unfavorable. They have trouble with the unfavorable opinions of others. They have trouble when they get sick and diseased or feel like God's against them when things turn bad. They become fearful about financial security and insecurity. Fearful of the unknown. Fear zaps strength, paralyzes initiative, and poisons the atmosphere. It's like walking into the dark room and developing your negatives. Faith is the best weapon against fear. The gift of the Spirit is not merely an ecstatic emotion. It's an adequacy to meet life effectively. The Holy Spirit will give us some practical helpfulness. He is our advocate, our friend. Adequacy to healthy mindfulness and self-control, love and self-discipline, self-control. Fear often is evidence of inner weakness, self-centeredness, an undisciplined mind. Faith in God is an expression of commitment to life and to the cause of Christ. That's the antidote of fear. Being with Jesus in Acts 4, the world translated that these men had been with Jesus when they saw their boldness. Some of us have come through deep wounds. We're damaged goods. We deal with our own sinfulness and our own temptations, and we're saying that we're not worthy. But there is possibility of this power, love, and a sound mind. Verses 8 to 12, faithful in suffering. There's several temptations in every generation. We try to accommodate the gospel to the spirit of the age, where we create no friction between Christians and the world. That's one thing that happens. The other is the martyr complex. It's an inverted form of egotism. We're egotists, so we invert it to see ourselves as martyrs. We're called in verse 9, called us to a holy calling. Folks, and Steve and Gary, this is a holy calling. Called to a holy life. Verse 10, it's a calling to a revelation that's apparent throughout the whole Bible, but particularly in the New Testament. We need to remember that Paul was facing a martyr's death. And he makes a statement here that in the middle of his potentially martyr's death under Nero, this Christ has destroyed death. So there's a paradox. Both the will of man's salvation and the means for its accomplishment are found in these verses. So we stay faithful even in the midst of suffering. Christianity, the truth about the gospel, lies beyond the reach of ruin and time. The Christian salvation is already laid up in heaven. Paul declares here, God's eternal purposes. Paul says, I've received it. I've entered into it, the kingdom of God. And like we were hearing this morning, we don't build it. He's built it. We enter into it. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, according to Jesus' words. We're called to seek first the kingdom of God. God gives both the will and the power for such service, according to Philippians. God's kingdom is an enduring reality which cannot be shaken. Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. It says in Revelation 19:6. We don't accept ultimate defeat. Paul's secret and ours, the veteran that spoke here, Paul's secret and ours is a challenge. It's the secret of abundant life in suffering and even physical death. It's a source of inner security. Verse 10, abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Life and immortality. Death is not the goal of creation. The goal is everlasting life. And one of the challenges we face in Northwestern Ontario is they kind of celebrate death after a while when there's so many suicides. They almost celebrate death. Well, the goal is not celebrating death. The goal is celebrating everlasting life. Life and immortality are linked together as two aspects of one reality. Life present, the immortal future. Paul says, Christ has bridged the gap between two aspects of man's experience. Brought to light for us in Christ, Christians endure suffering because of these basic truths. And we become preachers of this apostolic teaching, and we live it out, and we model it, and we wear it. Number 7, one thing deacons are called to do, may I suggest, as being gatekeepers. Uh-oh. Somebody says, not me. Fathers are gatekeepers. You keep the gate of your home. If you don't, well, you see the results all around us of people, of fathers who've not kept gates. Deacons and ministry people are gatekeepers. Keeping and guarding, safe deposits. We're told we're to bring to God what he's committed to us and what we ought to commit to him. That's a bit of a challenge for those of us that have been at this for a while. What has God committed to me, and what is in God's hands? Distinguish what God has committed to you and what you ought to commit to God. The discharge, faithfully. Leave the ultimate issues with him when you don't know where this may go. Find a way to be a gatekeeper in God's kingdom. May we take this challenge this afternoon to faithfulness and proceed with this service of commitment and dedication in the name of Jesus. Turn it back to Paul here.
Brother Steve, the Lord, through his church, has called you to fulfill the office of deacon among his people. If you are willing to accept this call, you will answer the following questions as your vows of submission and faithfulness. Are you willing to accept this service, and do you promise by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit to give yourself to the work which this office requires of you as a faithful laborer in the Church of Christ? Do you promise to give heed to all the teachings of the Word of God, to accept them as the rule and guide of your life, and seek to teach them, together with the doctrines and teachings and forms of worship of the Faith Mennonite Church, as far as the duties of the office of deacon shall require you, and faithfully abide in them? Are you willing to assist in conducting the church or congregation in which you are called to labor in accordance with the instructions and teachings of the gospel, the counsel of the church, and in all things show yourself an approved servant in the vineyard of the Lord? Sister Judy, the work of the deacon may be greatly helped or hindered by the attitude and support of the spouse. In order that you may share in the dedication to your partner's calling, will you answer these questions? Do you concur with your spouse the sense of call to this ministry, and do you likewise dedicate yourself wholeheartedly to this service as a call from the Lord? Are you willing to make the necessary sacrifices of your own time and convenience that the work of the Lord may be given first place? Are you willing to be a true partner and helper with your spouse in the promotion of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus? Brother Gary, the Lord through His church hath called you to fulfill the office of deacon among His people. If you are willing to accept this call, you will answer the following questions as your vows of submission and faithfulness. Are you willing to accept this service, and do you promise by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit to give yourself to the work which this office requires of you as a faithful laborer in the Church of Christ? Do you promise to give heed to all the teachings of the Word of God, to accept them as the rule and guide of your life, and to seek to teach them together with the doctrines, teachings, and forms of worship of the Faith Mennonite Church, as far as the duties of office of deacon shall require of you, and faithfully abide in them? Are you willing to assist in conducting the church or congregation in which you are called to labor in accordance with the instructions and teachings of the gospel, the counsel of the church, and in all things to show yourself an approved servant in the vineyard of the Lord? Laura Lynn, the work of the deacon may be greatly helped or hindered by the attitude and support of the spouse. In order that you may share in the dedication to your partner's calling, will you answer these questions? Do you concur with your spouse the sense of call to this ministry, and do you likewise dedicate yourself wholeheartedly to this service as a call from the Lord? Are you willing to make the necessary sacrifices of your own time and convenience that the work of the Lord may be given first place? Are you ready to be a true partner and helper with your spouse in the promotion of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus? I'd like you to step forward and then kneel. I invite the ministry and their spouses to come forward, please. Upon this confession and these promises which you have made before God and these witnesses, we herewith charge and commission you as deacons. Serve the Lord and the church faithfully by teaching and example. Serve the practical needs of those whom you're called to serve, both in the church and without. Likewise, give heed unto yourself, walk circumspectly, read the word, meditate upon its precious precepts, pray without ceasing, and in all these things seek to be a faithful laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. Continue in these things, for in so doing thou shalt save both thyself and those you serve. May God, who has called you to this high and holy calling, fill you with the Holy Spirit, give you grace and wisdom, and bless you in all things through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow together in prayer, and the team may lead as they care to.
Father, at this time again, we come before you. Thank you for your meeting, your guidance, for your time.
Again, Lord, may you give grace and wisdom and understanding. Hearing our again, speaking to you. May you use them. May you use them to your strength. Thank you.
Father, this is your work. We are your people. And we thank you for these two brothers and their spouses and their commitment to serve with this congregation. Bless them, we pray. We consecrate them to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may stand. We're going to be led in a hymn, during which a newly licensed will take just a brief break. And following the hymn, we will be dismissed from the service with prayer. And then we would welcome you to come up and greet the newly licensed couples. We encourage the family to be able to come first if they can, if you allow them to do so. And then all others who would care to come, please come down my right, your left, and exit by my left, your right. And thank you for your cooperation and support. We'll be led to him.
For those who are able, let's stand and turn to number 543 in the Mennonite hymnal. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. Number 543 in the Mennonite hymnal. Do mi so, he leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort, fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me, his faithful. Sometimes misdeeds of deepest gloom, sometimes very
Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. God bless. I think for the sake of clarity, I think we have you come down this side, flowing my left to the other way. I think that might flow better. I think we're all heading the same way. So if you come down my left, you're right, and then up that way.